right.
Because I got some 3D print stuff to talk about.
All right. I got stuff, man. Woo-hoo-hoo!
Woo-hoo! We got content!
Here we go!
Content, bitches!
903-543-21. Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza.
It's about fucking time someone else is.
Big O! Showtime!
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cats, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no fuddy-duddies that a Lincoln bat. For the streaming, go direct to DLNTS.org. And ICChannel is LinuxLink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the cats are just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 903 of the LinuxLink Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
Hey, back from the dead.
We have Joel.
Double Pfizer'd up and waiting my 14 days until it's all taken effect.
And we have me, and I got 11 days.
11 yes. days until
no.
you're...
No, 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 til, no, no, no.
Till til,
nine,
til
nine
you
days.
Are...
9 days.
Able to take that fucking mask off. No, actually, no, that's the bad
days.
Part is we won't take the masks off either, but, you know.
9 days, so I'm heading back into the grocery store. What?
You haven't been to the grocery store since the start?
Nope. It's been a year.
Wow.
It's been over a year, actually.
I go every week.
March
I don't
13th.
Give a shit.
Alright, so... this week, man, so much to talk about, but I wanted to give a little bit of update because this is great. So Friday, our company is giving us half, like 4 hour leave time for when we go to get vaccine shot. So I took half a day on Friday. I come in Monday. I sit down at my desk on Monday and get a Slack message from their little group chat, and they're like, so we got to start looking at Circle CI. What we're thinking is moving everything over, bagging our current setup and moving everything over to just their main repo. So I was like, oh, come on. You got to be kidding me. First it was, we're going to take all that you did, cut out all the, like, really big stuff that you figured out, and we're going to keep the rest of this stuff. Now we're just going to throw it all away, and we're going to switch from that. So, like I said, the way we have it set up is our repo that we work from is a fork of the master, the parent repo, which is owned by WordPress VIP. And we have, I mean, we're administrators.
You just really
of
like that WordPress editor, huh?
Yeah, no. Oh, so I'm going to get into that in just a second though. Cause this like really blew me away too, thinking about this. But so all that stuff that we set up and their GitHub Actions got working and that entire workflow is now going to be scrapped, and I gotta replicate everything over there on Circle CI, which I have never touched before in my life. So
I never heard of it until you said it right there.
So it's a tool like Jenkins or TeamCity, but Circle CI. I don't want to say much more about it because I'm not very familiar with it. But I will be because I just picked the ticket up to do that work, to get that over there. But, yeah, so.
Well, after May 1st, I don't have any grunt work anymore.
So, you know what? It was a great learning experience for GitHub Actions. And I've used GitHub Actions in a lot of other stuff now. I still really like it. It presents a a unique set of challenges. And I think I've mentioned this before. What I find really difficult to play around with CI tools is being able to easily test them without impacting your actual CI.
Right.
So Jenkins was always kind of a pain in the ass in that the way that we set things up in Jenkins has a hook in there where it hooks into GitHub, and you can do like an organization in there, and then through a regular expression pull in specific repos. Well, you can list them out, or you can do regular expression. And we did kind of a regular expression, which meant that our naming standard for our repositories would be picked up, and then it would automatically begin to process the Jenkins file if it found it in that repository. And that made it a little difficult to do some work in that regards, because if you were messing around in one of those repositories, if it was a new repository, it really didn't matter, right? Because it's not a deployed application. But if it's something that's existing, it made it a little more difficult. And if you wanted to try out, like if I wanted to significantly alter like our testing structure or whatever it is, I'd have to set up a sandbox, which would be a copy of the organization that would just work on a few specific things in a specific branch. But regardless of that, anyway, if you're messing around in a repository or whatever, it's still being picked up by the main one in Jenkins. And there's stuff that could, you know, get triggered on that, and it just makes things a little messy and sloppy. With GitHub Actions, you kind of had a similar problem you had to be careful of, but what was nice is I could just set it all up to work on only with specific branches and not have to worry about the main branch, which is a lot of the testing I did there. And GitHub Actions made it easy to do that, so I can get this thing working between a bunch of different test branches and then switch it over to the main branch, and we would be pretty much good to go and restart everything and not have to worry about mucking up with the main branch or anything else like that. So that was kind of nice. So we'll see what happens with Circle CI, but there's like, you know, here we go, man. I come back in and we're tossing half the shit I've done already. But so I picked up a ticket last week to a configuration ticket on what we're doing inside of WordPress, which really, when I got into it, hammered home like exactly the ramifications of like it almost blows my mind a little bit when I think about it, that essentially we are stripping away all the functionality of WordPress, like everything, and just using Gutenberg, right? The Gutenberg editor in WordPress. And then the block, the function, the plugin architecture around it. But we're essentially just disabling everything. So my task, which I really enjoyed it, because it really got me bitten by the development bug again for PHP. I haven't really done any PHP development in like 7 years, and getting back into it and doing it in WordPress and working with WordPress VIP, really, I was digging it, having a good time. My job was I had to turn everything off and make everything inaccessible in the WP admin side of things. So if you've ever used WordPress, when you go in and you log in, you're in the WP admin section, and you have like a sidebar of menu options. So like you can create a new post, you can do this, you can edit themes, you can mess with plugins if you have the right permission levels. You have an admin bar at the top, and they're like, we want everything disabled on the admin bar, on the admin menu, and we want the admin menu gone, and we want everything disabled across the admin bar, and we want the admin toolbar gone, and we want to make sure that if anybody tries to, like, physically type in the address to an admin section, that it's going to give them a 404. So,
yep.
It was interesting doing all that. There's functions in WordPress for doing it. This is another thing that drove me crazy, is that you can disable pages. So, and the way that you do that is it's by screen ID. So every page has a screen ID, and you can say if this screen ID, you know, if this screen ID, at first the way I started this was, if this screen ID is in this list of screen IDs, then we're going to just throw a 404. The way that this is going to function is through a whole separate other application, which has nothing to do with WordPress. They would be in that, which is like the discovery application. They would click on a story in there, and it would open up that story inside WordPress editor, which would allow them to alter the story, update it, and make the changes, edit it, or, you know, they can create a whole new story that way. So that application sends it into WordPress, which then, when they're finished, pushes it back up to our infrastructure. So that's the only thing they want, is that edit page of the page that they're editing. Anything else, they're supposed to go back to that other application. But if they try to, like, access, for instance, user.php or themes.php or configuration.php, it's going to 404 on them. They're not going to have the access. So you can do that with the screen ID, and then you can redirect. Like, originally I thought it was a redirect they wanted back to some other page, like the edit page or something, like a list of stories or so. I didn't know that they actually didn't want to use any of this functionality, but you have to use the screen ID. And I looked high and low of how I can find the screen ID for a WordPress page, right? And it's not that, like, there's a function that you could put in there that'll print out the screen ID of the page you're on, but that's not what I want to do, you know? I want to say, okay, here's the edit.php page. What is the screen ID? Well, you would think user configuration, like your profile page, profile.php is profile. And post, you know, for creating a post is post. But edit, you'd think maybe it's edit. No, edit is post. And so screen IDs don't necessarily match up with the name of the file. And the screen ID isn't in the file. I can't find where or how it sets up, like the match there from screen ID to what the page is. I haven't been able to figure that out. All the documentation that I've been able to find, except for one page, which I didn't even find this other guy I worked with found it. This one page, like, everything else tells you how to print out the screen ID of the page you're on, but it doesn't tell you where screen ID is generated from. Like, how does it get it? Is it in the database? Is there a file that lists it somewhere? How does it generate screen ID? But this guy sent me, he's like, oh, look here. And it's just this page that lists all the sections on the admin page, like WP admin. All the, it says the file name, the menu item name, and then the screen ID over there. And it's got all of them for the admin section. And then there's a network admin section too. But the network admin section doesn't have it laid out like that. And I'm like, man, I've been searching for like 2 hours trying to find anything like this. And he's like, yeah, I've been doing this for 2 weeks, and this is the first time I came across this just now, you know? So somewhere it's got to be documented, but I can't find it. And So if I figure it out, or if anybody out there knows, you know, shoot me an email. Tell me, how is this generated? But I'll probably, hopefully, I sent a question to our VIP support for WordPress, and hopefully I'll get an answer back. But yeah, so doing that, and then so the idea of my initial idea was I was constructing a list of screen IDs that need to be redirected to the 404, at which point I got them all that I could find from hitting the individual like pages off the menu in the WP admin. And then I started going through the actual WP admin directory and trying to hit those pages just by typing them in. And so I ended up with two things. One was either it was going to have to be a page that I would have to, you know, have to redirect or throw a 404 for that would work like that. Or it was a page that you weren't supposed to hit directly, and hitting directly would actually throw an error. So that type of page would not let me redirect it because it was already throwing an error and it was ignoring everything else. So at which point, once I got that list built, I said to myself, this is ridiculous. We only want one page. So I said, if the screen ID, you know, does not equal this one page, we'll throw a 404, and that's it. So that cut that list of like 30 items down to zero, because I want to just be really careful to reduce the amount of time it's going to take this page to load in. So, you know, it's not a lot to take an object, you know, you say, hey, what's this page ID? And is this page ID in this list, this array? But while that kind of call is not too costly, it adds up if you have a bunch of other things going on. That's something right. You don't want to, because it's still like the way that it figures out whether it's in that list is behind the scenes. It's looping through that list to see whether it's in there. Even though you're not like going to do a for each and going as, okay, for each entry in the list, if this matches here, throw a redirect. Otherwise, go on to the next one. It still kind of has to do that, right? So let's throw that out. We don't want to go anywhere but this one page, so let's not even worry about the list. So there's that was fun. I enjoyed that. And then my next task is Circle CI, so I'll probably have a lot to say about Circle CI next week. See how well that goes. I'm very interested. Although I get the impression that I'm not going to have a lot to do, since they kind of have it, they offer the Circle CI service. So I think I think it's already like set up to do exactly what like 90% of we wanted to do, which is, hey, we're putting in a PR. It's already running the tests. Once you get merged in there, we're not trailblazing anything here as far as I can tell, because this company has set this up for this purpose. This is the way they're going to be doing it, and we're fitting into that mold. Now, of course, like I said, the big difference between what we're doing and what everybody else is doing is we're essentially taking this massive framework and this CMS, and we're saying the only thing we want out of here is your editor, and we're going to build our own plugins. So get it out of here.
Yeah.
So the next step is trying to figure out how to disable some of their plugins that we're not going to be using. But anyway, that was a lot of fun.
That's like what happens with us in Jenkins. I think we use the same thing in Jenkins that our other, we have multiple ERPs, and both we have things in each ERP that uses Apache Tomcat on Linux. Now, what's funny is we could use Apache Tomcat on Linux for our WebAdvisor product, which is going away. We're going to be hiring it here within the next year or so for our clients. But we would still have our Elysian messaging's adapter service, which runs on Tomcat. All right. Well, our other ERP banner, they also have things that run on top of Tomcat. I'm trying to remember what the name of their stuff is, but in any event, they actually have like database connections and stuff they set up within Tomcat that we just don't use. Okay. Ours, in our cases, we use configurations inside the web.config file to make the connections back to our listeners running on the core application servers. That happens on, even on EMA, it happens kind of, although we also connect up to our API. So when we're running the Jenkins job, we have to be careful and select things. And after Tomcat's installed, we actually have to go in and edit server XML to clear out or either comment out or not use some of the stuff that we install with the Jenkins thing. So basically, eventually, what we need to do is we need to rewrite that to make it our own. And what we want to do is we want to basically make it so that when we run the Jenkins job, it has both our EMA product as well as the RabbitMQ installed. Or at a minimum, if not installed, the package is there so we can run the installation manually. The only reason we'd have to do that is we have to actually configure things and things like that, and that's going to vary and be different for every client. So you can't use the same job. We actually have to figure out a way to basically pass the environment information to that, so that basically once Jenkins is done doing its thing, everything is deployed as it should be. So I'm not one working on that. I am more participating in the engineering scrums now than I am the applications ones. I'm there mostly so one, I can learn for the automation stuff, and two, I can provide the advisory things on why you wouldn't want to do certain things certain ways, because I know colleague real well, because I've only been a colleague administrator for 20 years now. So or it seems like 20 years. Yeah, it's been 20 years, close to that. But you know, so it's one of those things. So but that's all non-fun stuff. It's not that fun. I got my BigTree Tech Mini SKR 1.3 board that's going to go in my 3D printer. And I'm going to save that for the weekend, because I'm going to have to probably what I'm going to do when I go to do that work is, at least when I go to put the board into the machine, I'm going to completely disconnect the supply from that control box from the printer itself and take it into the living to the kitchen table and do all the disassembly work, because in their infinite wisdom, Creality put the board that runs the thing all the way at the top of the case. So they had to flip it over, have to take the power supply out and unwire it, and then rewire the new board in. And then before I even start new printing, I actually have to compile the Marlin 2.072 firmware properly for the CR10 Mini. And actually before I do that, I need to hook up the old box to Pronterface and run a command so I can get all my tunables off of the existing board. That way, once I have the new Marlin firmware in there, I can plug all those tunables in there, and then hopefully, knock on wood, it prints fine. So the nice thing is with the SKR drivers, they're known as silent drivers, so it's supposed to make the stepper motors on the 3D printer not as noisy. We'll see how that happens. But I've been enjoying the heck out of using Octopi. I have a Raspberry Pi 2 hooked up to the printer, and that's actually how I'm printing now. As I'll hit a web page on, really any computer, I can use it as long as I have Cura on it. I pre-slice it. I upload the G code to the Pi, press a print button, and it starts printing. Of course, I have to make sure that I've prepped the print bed, but I've got a webcam hooked up to it, and I will move where the cam's pointed every once in a while, depending on what I got going on. Sometimes I have it printed right at the board. Eventually, I need to get like a permanent webcam set up for it. And the nice thing with the webcam is anywhere I'm in the house, I can open up my phone and use what am I using on the app? Octo. Crap. Hold on. Let me see if I can fire the app up. It's Octo something. Octo app. Octo app is the name of it. And I can fire it up and I can see what the printer's doing. I can actually see there. It actually has a nice representation of the G code as it's printing. It tells you what layer it's on, the temperatures, and all that stuff. So it's pretty nice. So debating. I may keep it up just for monitoring, but I'll probably go back to using the micro SD card on the Big Tree Tech board. But we'll see what happens. I've never compiled Marlin. The way you compile Marlin is to use VS Code, which is Microsoft. And I think you can also use that on Linux as well. I have not tried it there. We use that for doing some of the JSON edit work and Jenkins and stuff like that, just because we all have Windows laptops. But you have to load a platform. I think it's platform.io, and then from within there, you can technically, you can probably just hook it up to the Marlin GitHub page, and basically download the GitHub repo and then go in and edit your there's a configuration.h that you would edit, as well as some other pieces that you edit that enable the drivers for the steppers, and then you run the action, the platform IO action, which then builds the firmware, and then you take the bin file that results out of that. I put it on the memory card, stick that into the SKR board once it's installed, power up the printer, and it loads the – it basically look for that bin file on boot, and then it will load that in there. Now, the one thing I haven't figured out how to do yet, because I just haven't started it yet, there is – some of these boards, like I know the factory boards, all have EEPROM. That EEPROM is what stores all of the information so far as tuning, you know, like E-steps, you know, steps from a millimeter for the extruder and things like that, how to move the, you know, what kind of calibrations you have to move the X, Y, and Z axis and all that. And that's stored in an EEPROM that you can you can send the commands over to update that via Pronter face, or you can also do it right on the using the dial on the LCD on the printer. I kind of like using it Pronter face a little bit better. But I think this one, instead of having a dedicated EEPROM on the board, it might steal a piece of the micro SD card, which I'm perfectly fine with doing, but I actually just got to be careful that and make sure that whichever memory cards I'm putting in there has that in there so that it picks that up, that EEPROM information up when it boots up. So, but I have to look into it and see, because it may end up having enough storage on board where I don't have to do that. So, you know, it's going to be a learning curve to get that set up. It's not as easy as just setting the printer up out of the box. So, I think once it's set up, it shouldn't be too much of a problem. It's not like I'm going to be updating it every month. But that's my 3D printer stuff. So be excited. Hooray. To get that done. Yeah. And I've been printing like a madman too. Like I'm trying to like reduce the amount of spools that I have to pack up when we move. So I've been taking the, like the little partial spools and printing some small stuff just to use them up so I don't have to move those spools. It really won't reduce the amount of weight of things I have to take, but, you know, it's just getting rid of stuff. It's like I had a couple spools that have been around for a year or so that I felt like just used up this week. printed some boxes and stuff like that. So anyway, so Ubuntu 2104, the Hirsute, is it Hirsute Hippo, I think? It releases tomorrow.
Yeah, it does. Are you excited?
And I'm
going
to go ahead. It's just, I want to be honest, not really. Because I really haven't, I mean, when was the last time that you actually had a bad time upgrading Ubuntu?
I haven't had a difficult time.
Yeah, not in a long, long time. Since,
no, it's been stable.
Yeah, I would say it's since 06 at least, probably. You know, so it's you know, it's, I mean, it's honestly not that exciting, to be honest. The Hirsute Hippo, yeah. So I'm actually at this point, this laptop I'm on right now, it's ready. All I got to do is a sudo do release upgrade, and it'll do it. So, but yeah, we'll see. It's, they're switching back to Wayland. Whatever. I didn't have a problem with. Yeah, everyone said that the first time they switched to Wayland, it was a failure, and I really had no problem with it when that happened either. I mean, did you guys?
You know what? The only problem I had with Wayland was, what was the application? The one where you could share your keyboard and your keyboard, right, mouse, and with different screens. So, like, your computer on your right. What was that application called? It was like a virtual KVM.
Oh, a Synergy?
See, yeah, I think that was it.
Right. Been a while since I thought about that.
Yeah, Synergy. So at the time, Synergy, I don't know if it does now. This is going back like 2 or 3 years, wasn't it, when they switched? 2 or 3 yeah. years ago. That it. So whether it works now, I don't know. Because Arch switched to Wayland.
They switched to Wayland too?
They that was a while ago that they switched over to Wayland. And then I lost that functionality.
Huh.
But
interesting. Yep. But I'll be on Kubuntu 2104 next week, so we'll see how it works. It's not like I use this machine. I don't use this Linux machine. I'm in Red Hat when I'm in the Linux world, in the work world, RHEL 6 or 7 most of the time, and CentOS. Our Rabbit in the EMA boxes are all CentOS 6 currently. I think we're going to go, I don't know whether we're going to go to 8 or not. So, but I'm getting more excited too, like some of the things that they're starting to do. And this actually, I'd like for some of the automation tasks that our team needs to tackle. One of the things I want to tackle is cloning. That is cloning our environments from production data. So right now for Managed Cloud, we have to use the Java application, same one that you use if you're on-prem. Well, our SaaS partners, the ones that are running SaaS, they have all their clones automated already. And they did it because R&D gave them a copy of that application that has a command line interface. So I'll be excited we're talking with R&D to get that over to us so that we can start implementing that stuff. So, but the best part is I don't have to do the grunt work anymore. There's the day-to-day software upgrades of websites, APIs, and stuff. It's just not something I'm going to be doing as much anymore. More training and all that jazz. So I'm excited about that. We got a new admin that's going to start in June. Once they they had to finish up their they're transferring from another department, I believe CTS, which they're the ones that do most of the if a college wants to pay us to do their work for them in their on-prem setup, they can do that, including we could be CIOs and stuff like that for that. Not me, but other people in my company. So, but blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I have been researching the cable modem I'm going to get because I'm buying it.
What are you getting?
Right now, I think the one I'm looking at, and I did, there's a, I did a quick search. Because no matter where I go, no matter what happens, whether I finish, which I think on all intents and purposes, we probably will finish the house, but I just got to get some assurances from the builder. Right now, see, I got it in my list somewhere. I'm looking at a Netgear one, and I'm trying to find the one I'm looking at. I don't want like the Wi-Fi or router stuff built into it. I don't need that.
What do you need?
Just the cable modem is all I need. See, I thought I had it in my list somewhere. Dang on it. Go figure. I don't think I have it saved anywhere in my wish list. I have to look. But the model I'm looking at will go all the way up to 2 gig. And right now, Spectrum supports up to 1 gig.
Then what?
So, I don't know. Now the Wi-Fi should the or Wi-Fi. I mean, the network cabling I got going in the house is Cat 6E, so that should support all the way up to 10 gig. But I'll probably only be gig everywhere right now. So I'm looking it up right now. Because basically, I don't want, like I said, I just don't need all the others. There's a Netgear Nighthawk cable modem. That's what I'm looking at. I think, oh wait, that's capable of up to 400. Maybe it's not that one. Hold on. 500. I'll have to look. I had it researched and I had it saved. I thought I had it saved on an Amazon wish list, but I don't know if I took it off or not. Basically, though, what I want to do is, and that's the thing. Whenever you either change providers or you move, something always gets discombobulated with your network. For example, when I moved here, the original router I have, which technically I still have, had 192.168.0.1 for the network address, I think it is. And what I come to find out was the side of the DSL box that AT&T gave me, that's on 192. So it's like, oh, crap. So I had to change my IP address to a different for the router to a different IP range. So another private ad range. So 162 or one that was switched to 172.1. I think 172.168.0.1, I think. So I only really changed the first octet. That's one thing I had to change when we moved in here because things weren't working initially. And you can imagine my wife was jonesing. And I actually I'm trying to remember if she had to work that day too when I was setting that up when we first moved in. She might have had to. But so, you know, that's kind of my goal. I don't want to have to reprogram my routers again. I've done that multiple times since I switched routers while I was here. But I can tell you one thing, though. I do love my Zenimax mesh network. It's fantastic. It does a great job. A great job sharing 50 meg. It'd be better. It'll be better once we move because we'll have faster speeds down. But, like, depending on what's going on in the network during the day, either in my apartment or on AT&T's network, Zoom sessions can be iffy if you're on video. And so I'm looking forward to having the full bandwidth and not have to worry about my Zoom session sucking when I'm on video. Of course, Dan's never on video because you're always in a white t-shirt, huh?
No. You know what? For some reason, my camera stopped working today.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why. I didn't check it again.
Now you use the one built into your MacBook?
Yeah. It just stopped working.
Huh.
Not that I give a damn.
Maybe it's time to reboot the freaking MacBook.
I did. I had to reboot it today. But still, it shouldn't.
Speaking of that, I'm a little bit excited about some of Apple's announcements this week. They announced M1 iMacs, which are fantastic looking. They're gorgeous. I want to say this, they're not repairable whatsoever, but they're beautiful. 24-inch iMac, and they have the M1s in them, running, I believe, High Sierra. So if you want something that can run Creative Cloud that isn't a Windows machine, that's the way to go as far as I'm concerned. And they also released...
$3,000 burning a hole in your pocket, Joel?
Actually, the top end one is only $1,600.
Only
$1,600, which is that's not bad.
Does it come with the
keyboard and mouse?
No.
It has a headphone jack.
No, the what's that called? The bar.
The touch bar?
The touch bar.
You'll be happy to know they didn't put that in the new keyboard that comes with the new iMacs.
Wait a minute. Is it actually a desktop computer?
Yeah, desktop computer, yeah.
Well, that's $1,600 more than I'm willing to spend for as well.
Yeah, I'd rather spend that on that than that much on an iPad. Because you can probably do that with a new iPad Pro, which they also moved the M1 into the iPad Pro as well, which it just – at what point does the iPad just become a Mac without the Surface version of a Mac, but I digress. The only big difference other than the M1 chip on the new iPad Pro is the – I think you can go all the way up to 16 gigs of actual RAM, which I think the previous limit was 6 on some of the iPads. And the USB-C connector on the end of it is actually a Thunderbolt 4 port, so you can actually connect up like monitors and stuff to the iPad if that's the thing you want to do. And then they brought out their version of the Tile. They called the... what, air tabs or something? I forget. I have to look at the thing.
See, here's the thing, right? Like, this past year of working from home, in particular, And actually, now that I think about it, the past couple of years, since they moved to Slack and using Zoom, and Microsoft has their 365 via the, you could use a lot of that via the web. Now, I can't speak for Teams. I have no freaking clue. Like, it's almost feels like with all the stuff that I do on a regular basis, and even with the developers that I work with, using a Mac is a hindrance when you can do it all in Linux. Yeah, you can do it all. And it's not like on Linux, it's all like first class shit. On Mac, it's kind of like, yeah, we got to shoehorn it in there. And it might not work like especially when you're working with containers and stuff. Like, that's freaking Linux based. Except if you're running a Windows container, and even then it works well better on Linux and things.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, AirTags, that's the name of it.
But like, if I had my choice, and they were like, "Hey, do you want an Ubuntu machine, or you know?" Or do you want to use Windows or Mac? I'd be like, give me a Ubuntu machine. I wish I could do that. The shit I have to go through to get things working sometimes in OS X, I'd rather have Linux.
Right. I don't blame you. But, you know, it's...
But I don't know whether Microsoft Teams works under Linux at all.
I don't know. Don't really care.
I would say I don't really care either, but they're really pushing hard for us to use Teams since they've already paid for it. And
but didn't they pay for Zoom too? Why?
Well, no, that's what they say. They're like, hey, why are we paying for Teams and Zoom? We already have, like, we're already in with Microsoft, we're already paying this exorbitant amount of money for a license.
Use Office 365, right?
Yeah.
So Teams comes with the territory, which
to me,
there's so many other things other than Teams that Office 365 gives you. Like, we use the planner cards for Kanbans and stuff like that, for planning our projects and stuff like that.
So apparently Teams is available for Linux. So,
oh boy, it'll suck there too. I had one call on Teams where we had one of our clients was using PayPal, and PayPal uses Teams, and oh my god, I say PayPal not in meaning PayPal like the PayPal you use to pay your eBay bids, but the PayPal that that used to be called VeriSign, okay? For the VeriSign, not certificates or DNS or, you know, domain names, but VeriSign, their credit card processing arm years ago was bought by PayPal. So we're setting that up. And I still – actually, I've done that one. I still don't know if they ever got it to work. so we had our configuration. Everything was right, all right? But it would go out to PayPal and immediately – you know, we would just reject it, and what we came to find out is on the PayPal side of things, they didn't have their the bank stuff set up, so they couldn't take credit cards. And it's like, you know, it's one of those things where one of the consultants that works for my company says, "Well, that's client responsibility." Yeah, but does the client know what the hell to do? You know, you got to hold their hands when you walk them through this process, especially if they've never done it before. You know, it gets crazy with that kind of stuff, but I don't know what's going on with that. But we had to use Teams for that call. I hated it. It was awful. The only thing worse than that, I think, is GoToMeeting, which is really bad.
Oh, my goodness. That's the... Doesn't Adobe – wait, who runs GoToMeeting? Who owns that?
I thought it was just GoToMeeting, I thought. Oh, wait, maybe it's Cisco. Could be Cisco, I don't know. Somebody might have bought them.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of GoToMeeting.
My church uses it only because they can get it for nothing. But excuse me.
Oh man, I'll tell you what. Brings back the old days here. I'm dicking around over here with Window Maker, and just like, yeah, my laundry's finished.
Woo!
And just like messing around with, like, I got it set up the way I want it, because I just switched over to using it from Fluxbox, and I just got it set up, and then I started dicking around with the theme editor. And not really the so much. I'm not gonna say it's the theme editor. It's just the built-in appearance preferences. So just like setting the colors for the background of the menu and putting a gradient on it and changing the text colors and stuff like that. I'm like, man, just the good old days of dicking around in these window managers and doing stuff like that. Like, you can change like everything about it and get digging down into the nitty gritty and changing how it works and how it runs. And it's like Window Maker is completely different looking. It's significantly different from Fluxbox, which is significantly different than Ice Window Manager, and it's different than GNOME. And like I got four different desktops in front of me that are just different.
Mm-hmm.
I got to get Enlightenment running on one of these again. There we go. That's some.
Which one?
That's some.
Which
difference.
One though? E17? Wait, is it E? No, E17 is the old shit.
Is it 19?
Yeah,
I think so. So like, I'm just like changing the theme on Ice Window Manager over here, and I'm like, I just don't know which one I want to stay with.
Ever since Rich mentioned that Wise watch, I've been looking for it, trying to find it. The only place, and it's out of stock direct through them for the cheap price, but you can go on eBay, you can pay $50-$60 for one of those watches, and I'm like, oh man. So let's see, no, I'm not gonna pay like $60 for one.
Why not?
Necessarily. Maybe, but let's see. Enlightenment. I remember the weird shape the windows you can use to have in like E16 and E17. Remember those? Like, I used to have fun theming the desktop. But now I'm more interested in getting work to work.
Well, you know, I really miss. Sometimes I sit back and I'm like, I can't believe I'm going to say this. I really miss, like, how Windows 95 looked, or even Windows 3.11 looked. You know? Just like, and I don't really miss Windows. I just miss that time period of this is the way it looked, and this is just your big beige computer, and then you open that up and blow the dust out of it, and you got the ISA cards, or if you had the money back then, a PCI, you know, you're running a little better. You had the AGP interface, and now it's all different now, you know. Now it's
still- Oh, yeah, it is. Oh, actually, Enlightenment's up to version 0.24.2. It's been a long time since I looked at Enlightenment.
Enlightenment 24. Is that it? 24?
Yep.
Wow.
0.24.2. I wonder if it's in the repos.
Let me see.
I'm not trying to remember when actually the one that I remember Carson Heitzler, who was
oh my god, Arch guy. Has Enlightenment 24.
There you go.
Oh, but I just got Windowmaker running. Do I really want to do it over there?
I don't know, man.
let's see what a Fedora has. Oh wait, that's not the right.
The guy I always remembered was Mandrake, and not that's what he called himself, not because of Mandrake Linux, but he was the other developer that was originally working on Enlightenment at the time, and his name was Jeff Harrison, I think.
Wait, you're not talking about Rasta, man.
No, that's Karsten.
What if I get Enlightenment installed on OS X? That would be a cluster. You know what? You probably can. Because you can install...
Yeah.
You can install X server on there. And if you might be able to... I know you can install like other window managers and stuff, but you have to run the X display for that.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Jeff Harrison, who was at Mandrake, he is working at GoDaddy now.
Good for him.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, things are so different now.
Man, remember Zimian?
I do, man. I remember installing that on Red Hat, if I remember right.
Yeah, I remember Zimian. I'm getting that running under Slack. That was, wasn't that Miguel Diakaza, right?
Yep.
And that
the original, one of the original GNOME developers. Yeah, it was basically a distribution of GNOME.
They were doing Zimian, and then they got gobbled up by SUSE.
Yep, and now he wrote .NET for Linux. Mono.
Well, so Miguel went on with the Mono, primarily with the Mono stuff, didn't he? Didn't he ever do it? And
yeah.
Is Nat Friedman, is he like the something with Git now? Nate Friedman, right? I thought he was...
He is the chief executive officer of GitHub Inc.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Good on him.
All the old hackers are starting to become managers and CEOs.
What? Wonder what ever happened to what was Warren Nazivan?
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Simply Memphis. Yes.
What was his name? It's...
Warren Woodford.
Yeah, I wonder how he's going.
I don't know. See, Miguel de Acasa is the Mexican-American programmer best known for starring the GNOME, Mono, and Xamarin projects.
Miguel de Acasa. Remember, oh my goodness, I don't know if you were there.
And he works for Microsoft now.
Yeah, he works for mine. I don't know, Pat. You might remember this. I don't. You weren't there, Joel. God, I wish.
What's the question, Dan?
Remember when we went to Linux World Expo in New York?
Right.
And it's 023 in Fedora right now. And they had that company there that provided the like WYSIWYG configuration tools for Apache, and and that they had that like biker lady. Remember that? Oh man, what was the name of that company?
They used to advertise pretty heavily in the magazines.
Yeah,
I can't remember the name.
That
was a long time ago, dude.
That
was like 2003.
That was a really long time ago. Holy mackerel. Jacob's Athletic Center.
Like
a long time ago.
That's when we took the stripper bus up there. Remember that?
Yes.
Stripper,
and drank the stinky bus. Beers.
Stripper bus.
Dakota Kick.
Yeah, that was.
Or fermented.
Yeah, they were terrible.
Yep. Yeah, or I just remember the one you were out there with us, I think, the one Southeast Linux Fest when the wedding party was there.
Yeah, that was.
Remember that?
I was
that. And Dave was there too, and we're all standing outside, and the chick flashed everyone.
Yep.
What's his face? Who's the sock dude? Sockware guy.
Patrick Volkerding?
Yeah, he was standing there. He and David didn't even bat an eye, and half the other crowd was like, "What? Their jaws dropped." It's like, and I just started to laugh. I'm like, David, didn't you see? Well, granted, David's wife is beautiful. Let's just face it, okay?
I think Chad Wallenberg was there too, if I'm not mistaken.
He probably was.
Chad was there, and Dual Core was there.
Yeah.
And Robbie Workman.
Ian 80 is married now, I think.
Yeah. But I'm not sure that Jeremy Garcia, I don't think he was there at that time.
He's a red data dog now.
Yeah, he's a data dog with Alon. That's his name, right? Alon?
I don't know.
Damn. I'll take a look at screenshots of the lights.
I miss Linux Fest, and I wish that Southeast Linux Fest was going to happen this year, but it's not. It's going to be virtual again. Oh, how sad is this? I search for dual core, and only things like CPUs and stuff come up.
I think you gotta look at dual core nerd core. So
yeah, actually, it did come up. Yeah.
Ay, ay, ay.
Those were the days.
Remember? I remember we went. I remember Randy Kramer. Remember Randy Kramer, Pat?
Sure.
Yeah, Randy Kramer.
Yup.
Wow, it's getting close to hanging up to us.
What else? I think
what else? What else we got? What else we got? Get Ubuntu release this week. I guess Fedora's got to be coming out with a new release soon if they haven't already. Or did they?
What did they do? I don't know anymore.
Oof. Yeah, Fedora 33.
Laundry's done again.
Yeah, I know. Wait, what is it? LSB release, right? That's what you do. I'm on Fedora Core 32. Fedora 32. I gotta upgrade. What is going on? Oh my goodness. How do I get so far behind?
Did you know Dual Core had a album release in 2017?
I saw that on the webpage.
Yeah. Bandcamp, Spotify, Apple Music, Google Play, Tidal, and Amazon.
Yeah, I guess
I'm still debating whether I want to go to Murph this year. not our friend Murph's house. I wouldn't bother him and his fiance.
Hey man, as a Fedora and Workstation 23, when the next stable release is available, a graphical notification will appear similar to update notifications. Why haven't I gotten that?
That's right, Murph was there too.
Oh, it's probably because I'm not running GNOME.
Yeah, I just looked in the IRC. I did see your comment there, Murph. Yeah, we know. Trust me, we know. They're big on our list right now. As Murph was saying, RHEL 6 is end of life. I'm like, yep, I know. We're managing it now. We're still patching. We've got ways. But it's a fairly large project for us to move all of our Linux clients to it.
Wait, is Murph saying he was there at the Southeast Linux? Yeah, he was.
The one with the learning party.
Man, Murph's been at all of them. Come on. He's been at all of them. That's right. He's always been there. Murph wasn't. Wait. Was Murph in the elevator?
Murph's from New York. He wasn't in the LV lug.
He's from Jersey.
Yeah, he's from Jersey. He's not far away.
He came to a few meetings.
Yeah.
Did he? Okay.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to think of whether he was there when we went to the Linux World Expo.
I don't think so.
Linux World Expo, that was one down in Atlanta?
No, New York.
Oh, New York. Okay.
Yeah, when it was in Jacob Javits Center.
That's before I started going to them.
And then Boston. We went the one year to Boston.
Yep.
Northeast Linux Fest.
No, this was before all that. This was the Linux.
Yeah, right. And every once in a while, I still think about our past friends like Patrick
Patrick Archibald.
Patrick Archibald. 5150 and Lord Drakenblut. And it makes me feel old because I am 50 finally, so hey. Oh, and I got my new driver's license with the star on it, so I can travel whenever that picks up again.
What's that? You got a gold star? It says Uten on it.
Something like that. Well, the whole how it works, at least with Ohio, you don't have to pay extra for it. All you got to do is when you go in to get your license done, is you have to bring like a bill with your name on it.
Oh, it's a real ID bullshit.
Yep, and you have to bring a birth certificate too, which I do have. It's amazing how many times I've paid to get a copy of my birth certificate because I keep losing a fucker. But Pennsylvania is great like that. I can basically just go to the web and order it via the web, and they just send it in an email. Or not email, U.S. mail, I should say. But I already got that. And that's the other thing, too, is after we finally move wherever it may be, hopefully Wynwood Drive in Grove City, I'll have to go. You know, I'm debating whether I want to just carry the little card for the next 4 years with my chart name and that my address change, or just go into the DMV and just bite the bullet and have them do another one. So I have a hard plastic one because, you know, they're good for 4 years. And actually, I just found this out. I didn't do it for the cars this time. I've been for years been paying for one, you know, my registration for the cars have been paying it every year. mostly because I never know if from one year to the next if I'm going to have a car or that specific car, you know? So it's like, why should I pay for more than what I need, you know? But I just discovered for the DMV, I can actually order my tags for up to 4 years now, and I might start doing that because I think it's actually a little bit cheaper if you do that. But no sense of doing it here since I'm going to be changing an address soon. So, but yeah, the sooner I get out of here, the better. I had steak tonight, Dan. It was good too.
I had beef stew.
Ooh, I haven't made that in a while. I usually make that in the winter.
Yeah, I made it in the winter too, but it was a couple weeks ago.
We had a lot of leftovers, so yesterday.
I froze it. Yeah,
I froze it. We had an inch of snow yesterday. we had an inch of snow yesterday. And into today, and it's all melted now, but
I don't know what snow is. I haven't seen snow at all. I don't think it snowed at all. No, it snowed once this year.
You had ice this year?
No ice, just snow. Just snow one day. One day it snowed.
Anyway, if all goes well, we should go to drywall here in a few weeks, and if we stay with this house, which... I don't really want to lose that money. So if I talk to the salesperson tomorrow and she can give me some more reassurances that or at least get some information before we talk that we can get more reassurance that we're going to be done, because that's, you know, if they can't, then we might start looking for another house, one that's already built, because I'm sick and tired of this place.
Well, good luck.
I found a couple nice ones, so you know, it's not, like I said, it's not that bad in Columbus area, real estate wise. In some areas, like I have a friend from high school, she lives up in New England and Stowe, and they had nothing to sell for a while. I think it's gotten better, but real estate's going crazy. So, all right, y'all.
Yeah, we gotta wrap this up.
So, have a good week, y'all. We'll see you next week.
See you next week for the last show in April. This is the last week in April next week. So anyway, Here we go. Enjoy and stay safe. Here are your promos.
Hello, my name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
Oh my God,
it's Hacker
Public Radio! Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? With my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room. Sushi.
Oh crap.
Nice.
I gotta get these shows uploaded to the Internet Archive. I don't know what I'm waiting for.
Hey, Murph.
Hey there.
I told him. I told him Danny should just came on the show.
I told him if he shows up, we're gonna send a hitman to his house and get rid of him. You know what?
You're gonna send a hitman here. I got a guy. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, you should have jumped in when we were talking about the old stuff.
I was getting up. I was doing stuff. So, you know, it's funny. You guys went to the Linux Expo in New York. I think I went to that, too. So we might have crossed paths and not even known it.
Probably,
yeah, probably, yeah, probably. There weren't that many in New York, right?
No, there weren't a whole lot, but it's so close for me. I used to go to them because I was going to school at the time, I think.
At the Jacob Javits Center. So, yeah, we probably ran across paths in there. Because, like I said, I don't remember there being that many Linux World Expos in New York to begin with. And we went to every time they had them that I can recall, we went to it.
Right.
Yep. Yeah, and I was there. I went to a couple of LVLUG meetings, and I helped you guys with the computers for the ill-fated Computers for Kids thing for a while there.
Don't talk about that. Don't bring up bad.
No, I wasn't going all the way down that road, but I was there in those days anyway.
Oh, my goodness. You poor guy.
Yeah.
You know what? Doing that was fun. I enjoyed doing that.
Well, that's the thing. I helped out with some of the hardware stuff. I didn't get involved in any of the politics. You guys were embroiled in the politics, so I wasn't in any of that mess.
That was mainly between Link and well, you know what? Didn't Randy screw Link over first, and then like Link had enough, and then I had enough.
Something like that. I wasn't there for a whole lot of them, so
right.
I remember the one time we got subs, like we were sitting there working and we got subs and he's like, give us some money. Somehow we ended up giving him over $100 for subs and he came back and we had like each of us got like a little 3-inch piece of a sub. And I was like, where the hell did all the money go?
That pretty much encapsulated that whole situation, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm glad I missed that shit.
Yeah.
Cool. Now you just go to Southeast Linux Fest and Jeremy feeds us.
Yeah, Jeremy's a nice guy.
Yeah, I can't wait for that to go live again. All of them to go live.
Yeah, you ain't kidding, man. I miss my geek shit.
Well, what's the deal? By the time Ohio rolls around, you think there's a possibility?
You Lord only knows, but yeah, I'm not optimistic in that actually happening. Just because I know Beth Lynn.
Yeah, I know with all of this, though, it was good to see some conferences I've never been to, like Seagull put up a nice event. A lot of the stuff was based on Matrix, and it went pretty smooth. It was pretty neat.
Yeah, they don't have anything on there. They say keep an eye out. Fall of 2021.
Yeah. I just looked at their website too.
It says look on the news page.
They got a call for presentations. That was just a few weeks ago.
Oh, they say they're planning on having an in-person event that will also be live streamed online. So, well, I don't know. We'll see. 2021.
Yeah, it's going to hinge on what our governor decides to do. Like right. I don't know. Right now, that's the whole thing about this pandemic thing is each state has their own friggin' standard for this kind of shit. And it's like, there's like, Franklin County is purple. I'm like, which is the worst color on their color-coded list. And I'm like, what the hell does that mean?
COVID.
No, I'm making my own spike proteins.
Moderna.
So, at one point they were saying like April 24th they were going to lift the mask mandate. I don't know. We'll see. I'm not hopeful that that's going to actually happen because DeWine's been probably more careful than most of the governors out there. I guess that's good. I don't know. But it is what it is. Did they change the Ohio Linux Fest website? Is it olfconference.org now? I thought it was ohiolinux.org.
Yeah, I thought it was too, but it's... Well... Isn't the domain Ohio Linux?
I'm trying it.
No, it's not Ohio.
No, redirected. They must own it, but they're redirected to olfconference.org.
Oh, okay.
And it almost looks like a different name change, like a name change almost. I don't know. I don't even know if...
Wait, Linux, Ohio, isn't it Ohio Linux .org? Yeah, OLF conference.
Let's see, Vice President Warner Moore, Bethlen Eicher is president. Rafiq Rehman is institute chair. Eddie Legg. Michael Schultes, I recognize him. I've seen him before. Vance. And Bethlen's mom is their social media person. So, yeah, I don't know. I'll definitely go down, but it's not like I have to go anywhere to go to that. I don't know. I'm just trying to make up my mind if I want to drive out to Goshen to go to the MRF, the Midwest Rep Rap Festival.
That's MRF's place, right?
You keep freaking me out talking about that.
Say goodnight, Joel. I'm going to stop the recording so I can put the show out.
Good night, Joel.
All right, there we go. Here we go.
Yeah.
There we go. There's what I've been looking for all this
time. You are on.
Here we go. All right. Oh, shit. Holy crap.
A little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of shot my arm yesterday.
How I wrap that for the fur. Let's do that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Stop that, do that, save that. There we go. All right, look at all this excitement.
I'm double Pfizered. My arm right now is really the only thing bugging the crap out of me. It's not doesn't hurt. It's just like a dull ache. So I'm not sure if that's just normal crap or if it's from my vaccine yesterday.
it's probably from the vaccine because mine hurt for a couple of days afterwards.
Just a dull ache. It's not sore. It doesn't, you know, it's not bothersome to the point where I have to take any medicine or anything. It's just, that's all it is. You know, although I did get, like, real, real tired about 4 o'clock today, but then again, I was up till 3 a.m. last night. Not doing work, just saw me up. And we're kind of mishmashing our team around where right now I'm kind of moved over to the engineering team instead of the assurance team that's a part of our team. So basically, instead of doing the grunt work, I'll be doing a lot of trial. I talked about that a little bit last week, I think. But then eventually getting more in with the GitOps stuff. Learn my Jenkins and my Ansible. and eventually Kubernetes. And I got my new board for my printer, so we'll talk about that today too. Haven't done anything with it yet. Mostly because I want to probably do it like a first thing in the morning, like Saturday or something like that, so that I can be well rested when I go to do it and take my time doing it. Plus, I might have to poke around, see if I actually have, I may have to go get some, like a micro screwdriver set. Because mine's in storage. Although I didn't really have much of one. Ready to get this show on the road?
Yeah, hold on. There we go. What am I? I'm just over here configuring my window maker. Hold on. All right. Because I love me some window maker. Oh, wait.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Oh, here comes Pat.
I wonder...
Well, welcome to the IRC, Claudio, if you're listening.
There we go. That's what... Oh, man, I love window maker. Ooh, love it.
Yes, sir.
All right.
There he is. Can we hear you now, Pat?
I haven't seen his mic go live.
I did, and it's live now, and I can't hear him.
It's still green to me.
Oh. Green? Don't you mean? It's blue to me.
No, I see it as green on my screen. Across. I see them blue. Wait, one of them's blue, one's green. Let's look at the last one. Yeah, he's blue
mine
on this
green,
one, too.
As long as I'm, yeah, as long as I'm not talking, mine's green. When I'm talking, it's blue with the little waves around my head.
That's weird, because on one of mine, he shows us green, and on the other two, he's blue.
Weird.
That's weird on that same one, when you keep talking, and it's green over there, too.
It's Ubuntu week. Isn't it? Is it out today? 21.4? Let me look.
I don't see it listed.
OMG Ubuntu release date. Let's see. It's tomorrow. April 22nd, 2021. He's ordering up a beer. Give me a beer.
No, he's telling her to turn the light back on. She shut it off.
Oh. Yay.
Oh, I should have upgraded the other day already.
What, the 2104? Yeah.
Yeah. Now I gotta wait with everybody else. Or contend with everybody else.
I might go ahead and do it tonight, maybe. If I should be able to at least switch over to the beta with the update manager command, I think. Of course, I'm on Kubuntu, so, and now we're going back to Wayland again. Of course, I wonder if you have the old X work. Well, start the damn show and we can talk about this shit.
What do we want here? All right. Guys, this is 903, isn't it?
I figured the problem out.
There you go.
There you go.
Playing around with your recording stuff.
I'm good now.
You're good. Jack, was it Jack?
No, the stupid fucking audio cable was loose.
Ah.
Oops. I'll say this now before the show, but the builder said, "Oh, your electrical inspection is due to happen today, and now closing is in June." I'm like, wait a minute. You fucking told us that it was going to be in May, and we gave our 60 days, so it better sure as heck be in May now. And if it ain't, what are you going to do for us? Because I'm like, you know, I wrote a nasty email to our salesperson and one to the CEO. I'm like, I'm tired of this stuff.
They'll give you a reach around and a wet nappy.
Yeah. No, I'm like, you know, you want us to close in June? Fine. Knock 10 grand off my price and I'll stay. I'll do it because that'll compensate for the extra fucking rent I had to pay. The bad part is I don't even know if that would do us any good either because I can say, hey, can we get another month? And they can say no because we already rented the place, which is a very distinct possibility with the housing market the way it is now. So I don't know. I want to talk to them and see what they can do, and if they can't promise any better, I'm going to be like, well, we're going to look somewhere else. I'd love it if I can get my deposit back, but that's probably not going to happen either. But no, I think, you know, it's one of those things he said, but Keith's pushing for May. I'm like, well, it better freaking happen in May because I need it to happen in May now. It's too late. You told me. It's your fault. You know, so, and when you guys let the freaking house sit there and nothing happened for 3 weeks, or very little happened, like last week, the only thing that happened was there was apparently supposed to be like a little wall, like right at the top of the stairs going into my office. That was all framed in. So that was it. That's the only thing he did last week. And to top that off is when they sent that. Now I had an inkling that was going to happen because our realtor got chatty with our salesperson, and she told our realtor before us. And I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, so. Maybe we'll buy this one. Maybe we won't. I looked. I actually did find some. It's not quite as tight here as it has been in other markets. So there are some that are available. There's like a really nice one that has a porch on out in front of the house. It was built in 2013, not far from where we're building. And that would be fine. It's actually quite nice. It's got some upgrades and stuff in it since they finished it in 2013. But, you know, I don't know. You know, we'll see. I don't really want to do that because, you know, the whole reason of building a home is because I wanted to have 5 to 10 years not to worry about shit breaking, if you know what I mean. And I wanted to get things like network cabling put in my freaking walls. But and paid extra for it too. But if we back out now, we lose about 6,000 to 7,000, unless they had a way that we can get it back, which I doubt that. But
Yeah, but if you backed out now, you wouldn't have any other place to go anyway, would you?
I still don't have a place to go, even if I stayed in. You know, if it ain't done at the end of May, it ain't done. You know, well, what I'd have to do is I'd have to pack all our shit in like a pod and get a hotel room until it's finished. Because who's gonna rent you an apartment for a month?
Well,
nobody.
Did you talk to your leasing agent down there? The whether or not
the apartment complex?
Yeah.
Not yet. You know, we'll see. I just want to see what the builder can do first to see. You know, well, how likely is it in May? You know, yeah, because basically, my wife's ready to walk. I'm like. To the point where now I'm not really, to be honest. I'm be fine waiting another month, but you know, just because I want a brand new house, I don't want to have everybody else's mistakes, you know. But you know, she wants to do that, then we'll do that because I did this to do this.
Well, I mean, that sounds almost like. Like, yeah, it would be a huge inconvenience to have to wait another month, but I can't imagine that would be less of an inconvenience than trying to find a whole new place to live permanently.
Right. Right. That's kind of where I'm at, Dan. The only problem is, like I said, we gave our notice and said we'd be out May 31st. And like I said... You know, we could get lucky. We could talk to the leasing agent here and say, hey, can we get another month? My wife doesn't really want to do it, but, you know, we'll see. I don't know. We'll see what the person says. It'd be cutting it really close. I'm pretty confident they could get it done because, really, I think this is the electrical is probably the last inspection before drywall. And they don't really do a whole lot of inspections after that, you know? Because it's not like we're getting an FHA loan or anything like that. So, because we're doing conventional this time. But, you know, we'll see. Let's start the damn show. Talk about tech. This is depressing right now.